The FBI in Peace and War. Another great story based on Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War. Drama, thrills, action. Tonight's story, The Fast Pace.
Ocean View Hotel, good afternoon.
Hello, Sonny, this is me. I called at the right time?
Just right, Hodge. Sedgley and his wife are back from the beach. Room service just took an order for cocktails to their suite. And Hodge...
Yeah?
Larry was right. They're made to order.
Larry's always right. Put Sedgley on.
Okay. Keep quiet now till you hear him speak.
What's it this time? Long distance from the hometown?
No, I figured we're due for the room number mix-up. Hold it. I'm ringing him now.
Yes?
Mr. Sedgley?
That's right.
I have a call for you, sir. Just one moment. Thank you for waiting. Go ahead, please.
Well, at last. Where were you?
Oh,
Never mind. I only got a minute. I'm due back at the track. Now, here it is, fast. Saturday night, the farm stake for 3-year-old pacers. I'm driving the winner.
What?
The fix is in. Bet 15,000 and we'll clear 100 plus.
What's that?
I said bet 15,000. Colonel?
Who's this speaking?
Who's this speaking? Say, what is this? Am I connected with 1012, Colonel Lawrence's suite?
No, this is 912. We must...
Oh, for the love of... Operator!
Hello, this is the operator.
Operator, what's the matter with you? I'm connected to the wrong room. I asked for 1012, this is 912.
1012? I'm sorry, sir. I thought you asked for 912.
Don't tell me what I asked for. Just connect me with Colonel Lawrence's suite and make it snappy. Oh,
yes, sir, right away, sir. Mr. Sedgley... Are you still on?
Yes, I'll hang up now.
Afraid I made a mistake, sir. I apologize for having inconvenienced you.
Now, that's quite all right. Fact is, you haven't inconvenienced me, miss. You haven't inconvenienced me at all.
Of all the swindles on record in the files of your FBI, none was slicker than the scheme worked by Larry Lawrence and F.A. Hodgins. So clever was their operation that by the time we first came into the picture, they had successfully bamboozled vacationing Americans to the tune of more than $50,000. The nature of the swindle was such that after the initial step was established, it would take a strong-willed prospect indeed to resist the really tempting bait which seemed to be his for just the asking.
And so I said to the missus, I said, look, I can only ask the man. And she said, well, you can ask, but he'll only take us for a couple of nervy hicks who ought to stay in their own backyard.
Oh, I said no such thing. Stuart, what a way to talk. I merely thought Colonel Lawrence would think it presumptuous for total strangers to invite him for cocktails, that's all.
Well, on the contrary, Miss Sedgley, on the contrary. Believe me, ma'am, I'm honored that you nice people were kind enough to invite a lonely man.
Now, there you are. What did I tell you, Emma? Shucks, that's how you meet new folk. Speak up, I always say. There's no sense of being a deep and dummy. Here you are, Colonel. Best scotch money can buy.
Why, thank you kindly, sir. Thank you.
Sam,
Yes, dear?
Why don't you go get dressed for dinner? And maybe we can persuade the Colonel to join us.
All right, Stuart. Can we persuade you?
You can, ma'am. On condition that you and your charming husband be my guests.
Oh, nonsense now. The evening's on me. You go get dressed, Emma.
If you'll excuse me, Colonel Lawrence.
Reluctantly, ma'am. Reluctantly.
I won't be too long. Stuart, you'd better make a reservation.
That's a good idea. Fine steak dinner and then maybe off to watch the trotters. That is, if you're a racing man, Colonel.
Why, I'm from Kentucky, sir. My family's been interested in improving the breed ever since I can remember.
Well, good. And then an evening at the raceway is agreeable all around. I'd sure like to watch those trotters. And who knows, maybe we can pick up an easy 1,000 or 2, huh?
Maybe you can, Mr. Sedgley. Me, I'm not a gambling individual.
Oh, you're not, huh?
No, sir. I just like to watch him improve the breed.
Well, now, I can't say as I blame you, Colonel. If, I had a sure thing running for me in the Saturday farm stake, I wouldn't be a gambling individual myself.
Oh, I see. You were the person Mr. Hodgins spoke to by mistake.
That's right, Colonel.
So you heard.
I heard enough to know the race is fixed for Saturday night. And you're bidding $15,000 on it.
All right. I've been outsmarted. What are you, state or local?
Huh?
Or federal, perhaps. FBI?
What?
Well, you're a police officer, aren't you?
Oh, I see. You think this is an arrest.
Well, isn't it?
Why, it's the opposite, in fact.
You're not a police officer?
I'm not.
Not FBI?
Not state, local, or FBI. I'm just a man who's also anxious to improve the breed.
I see.
And if I should happen to pick up, say, $100,000 along the way, why, who's to argue it, huh? That's what I always say, Colonel. Never look a gift horse in the mouth. That's always what I say.
Our first lead on Hodgins and Colonel Lawrence came a few weeks after the Bureau was brought into the case. A wealthy businessman was their fourth known victim and decided to report it.
Now, I'll be frank with you. I almost decided not to. I said to my wife, Audrey, do you think I shouldn't? She said, well, sure you should. They're crooks, aren't they? And I said, yes, but I was willing to play along with them, so what does that make me? You smoke cigars, Mr. Stevens, my own make. I don't smoke myself. Doctor's orders.
I'll try one. Thanks, Mr. Palmer.
Good. You like these. They retail at a dollar. So I stalled a couple of days, but I just couldn't stand it. A smart apple like Walt Vollmer getting taken by shopsters that way. The idea galled me so, I finally said to myself, I don't care if they send me to the lockup. I'm going to do my duty and report this like a decent American citizen. The cigar's nice, huh? Mild?
Very, very. Tell me, what happened after you told Colonel Lawrence you knew about the fixed race?
Well, to give her the fast version, he balked when I let him know that I wanted in. You know anything about the races?
Strictly from the $2 point of view.
I wish I could say that. Well, anyway, when Lawrence balked, I let him have it. At least that's what I thought. I said if he wouldn't let me in, I'd bet a big bundle right at the track. And I knew he wouldn't want that for fear of bringing down the odds. But I didn't know that he knew I'd figure that.
And so he reluctantly gave way.
Yes, but not before he talked it over with a driver.
The driver?
Mr. Hodgins, the owner-driver of the trotter that was supposedly all set to win.
Mr. Vollmer, didn't you think to look up the driver's name on the form charts?
Well, sure I did, and there was a Hodgins listed all right, and on top of that, I was introduced to the man personally when he agreed to let me in for the $10,000. Well, not the real Hodgins, of course, the phony.
I see. The phony always assumes the name of a genuine driver. Is that it?
That's it. I found that out right after the race. As soon as the horse lost, I stormed in the locker room yelling bloody murder. And when I saw that Hodgins wasn't Hodgins, if you know what I mean, I was ready to cut my throat.
Well, I'm much obliged to you, Mr. Vollmer.
Not at all, sir. Maybe if more people opened up to you like I have, crooks like that Hodgins wouldn't be up there in the driver's seat.
Judges have posted the order of finish. Number 4, Lady Hanover, the winner, driven by Mr. Quigley. Place, number 1, Molomai, driven by Mr. Hodgins. Show, number 8, Born Leader, driven by Mr. Keegan. Don't throw away your mutual tickets. This result is not official.
And darned if the colonel didn't nod to this driver as he passed by in the sulky. I'm telling you, Emma, you missed a great evening.
Now, you know, I don't enjoy those totters, dear.
Trotters, dear. Paces and trotters.
Well, whatever they are. But I'm glad you had a nice time.
Well, I didn't go for a nice time. The evening was strictly business.
You didn't bring up that Saturday race again.
Sure I did. It's only 2 days off, you know.
Stuart, it seems to me you shouldn't be meddling in other people's affairs.
Oh, it does, huh? Well, now, you just wait until Saturday night and tell me that. Now, come on to bed, Emma. We're teeing off the first hole, 8 o'clock sharp.
Yes, Stuart.
And please, stop worrying. That never got you anywhere.
Oh, I'm not worrying. I only think...
You only think what?
Nothing.
What?
Well, nothing, nothing, really.
Emma, for the love of Mike.
Well, I only think something like this ought to be brought to the attention of the authorities instead of...
Oh, sure, the authorities. What am I, some sort of a Boy Scout? A chance like this comes once in a lifetime, and I'm grabbing it.
Well, yes, but...
The colonel's speaking to that driver fella sometime tomorrow. Now, if he gives his okay, and he hasn't much choice, I've made myself a fistful of money. And on my vacation.
Well...
I guess if you've got the touch, it just kind of follows you around. It can't be all luck either, no, sir. But even if it is, I'm not complaining. And you won't be either when you see your new mink coat.
Well, I'm not complaining, Stuart. All I say is...
Yes, I know what you say, wives. If we listened to you even some of the time, where'd we men be, huh?
Larry. Hey, Larry.
Okay, I hear it.
Never mind. Hear it, answer it.
Yeah, better. It's probably our boy. Colonel Lawrence here.
Hello, Colonel.
Well, Mr. Sedgley, top of the morning to you, sir. Thought you were out on the golf course.
I just came in the clubhouse not 2 minutes ago. Shot a fine round of even sixes. Except for that fool 17th. I thought I'd phone you over cool Tom Collins.
Well, I'm mighty glad you did, Mr. Sedgley. I was up and at him early myself this morning.
You didn't see that Mr. Hodgins already?
I most certainly did, sir. In fact, Mr. Hodgins and I had breakfast together.
In fact, we're about to order another.
Shut up. Are you free later in the afternoon, Mr. Sedgley?
I can be. Why?
Well, I don't like to discuss this sort of thing too openly over the phone, but if you could arrange to meet with Mr. Hodgins, I believe that matter we talked about can be settled to everyone's satisfaction.
Well, splendid. I'd be only too happy to meet with the gentleman. Just tell me where and when.
Could you meet him over at the Raceway Stable, say at 3 o'clock?
I could. This is wonderful news, Colonel.
Yes, it is. But, Mr. Sedgley...
Yes?
I'm afraid Mr. Hodgins won't let you in for quite the figure you anticipated.
Oh, no?
Not quite. He's, well, let's say he's not the easiest person to deal with. I did my best, I assure you, but beyond 20,000, the man was a stone wall.
20,000?
Of course, I could let you in for 5 of my own, if you insist.
No, I wouldn't think of it, Colonel. The fact is, I wasn't thinking of going for more than 5,000, maybe 10.
You weren't.
3 o'clock, huh?
3 o'clock. The Hodgins Stable. He's an owner driver.
I'll be there. Goodbye, Colonel, and thank you.
Dirty cheapskate.
Oh, how so?
He wasn't thinking of going for more than 5,000, maybe 10.
Why, that lowlife. I got a good mind not to let him in at all.
Hodge.
Don't worry. I got a bad mind that'll bring him around for the full 20. By the time I'm finished, he'll be so eager he'll want to throw in his wife.
Well, never mind his wife. Get cash for a certified check. And don't hang around that stable too long.
And don't worry. Last time I thought I'd show off that horse, I almost got my hand bitten off. What am I this time? New England type?
Oh, I'll leave that to you.
5, 10,000. Can you tie that? You know, Larry, it's getting so you can't work an honest swindle anymore without some wiseacre pulling a fast one.
I know. It's like the man says over the television, Hodge. Everybody wants into the act.
Oh, you there, boy.
Yes, sir?
This is Mr. Hodgins' stable, isn't it?
That's right, sir.
Is he around?
No, Mr. Hodgins don't usually come to the Raceway much before 7. Anything I can do, sir?
No, I don't think so. I'm his brother. He told me to meet him here. Don't know where I could find him, do you?
Well, he might be anywhere. You're his brother?
That's right. Okay, if I wait around?
Well, sure, go ahead.
Thanks. Thanks a lot.
Oh, say, you don't have to do that, sir.
It's only a 20.
A 20? Thanks.
Run along now. Attend to what you're doing. Joe and son.
Sir?
A friend of mine's joining me here. He'll ask for Mr. Hodgins, but he'll mean me.
Yes, sir. I'll see that he finds you all right.
Good. I appreciate that. What's your name again?
Johnny. Johnny Nelson.
I appreciate that, Johnny. I can't tell you how much.
To the director, Washington, confidential. Word received from the Morning Telegraph in New York to the effect man named Hodgins currently driving at Fairlawn Raceway in New Orleans. I'm leaving for Fairlawn immediately. Will advise results. Sign it, Stevens.
Oh, Mr. Hodgins.
Over here, Johnny.
This way, please, sir.
Whoa, there, boy. Easy there now. Easy.
Is the gentleman you're expecting, Mr. Hodgins?
Hmm? Oh, yes, so it is. Handsome animal, isn't he?
Very.
All right, Johnny. Thank you kindly for showing Mr. Sedgley to me. We want to talk a little private now.
Yes, sir, Mr. Hodgins. Call me if you want anything.
I'll do that. Nice lad. Been with me since he was that high.
Don't say.
Yes, indeed. Oh, sit down, Mr. Sedgley. I'm glad you dropped over. Colonel Lawrence told me a lot about you.
The Colonel's not here, eh?
Well, I thought he'd be with you.
Yeah, I thought he'd be with you.
Well, it's just as well. Give you and me a chance to get acquainted.
I think I'd like that, Mr. Hodgins. I understand you drive a mean sulky.
And I understand you drive a mean bargain.
Oh, I don't know.
You don't, I do. But then I always say, a fella has you, he has you.
Something to that, all right.
What I mean is, we're all in this together. There's enough for everybody.
If you say so.
I do. Only one thing.
Yes?
There's no sense keeping anything back from you, is there?
I sure hope not.
Well, it's like I told Colonel Lawrence. I said...
Mr. Hodgins!
Yes, what is it, son?
Phone call for you, sir.
Phone call? For me?
Yes, sir, you can pick it up right there.
Thanks. Pardon me a moment, Mr. Sedgley.
Certainly.
Hello?
Hello, Hodge, this is me.
Oh, Colonel Lawrence. Hello, Colonel. It's Colonel Lawrence.
Yes.
Everything all right, Hodge?
Perfect. Weather clear, track fast.
Well, I just called to say things got off schedule a bit. I'll be a little late.
That's all right. Take your time. We're getting on famously.
That's good. You're getting on.
That's right.
Who's getting on?
Who? Who do you think who? Who's getting on? Mr. Sedgley and me, Colonel. Who'd you think?
Mr. Sedgley and you? Hodge, have you been drinking?
I never drink when I have to drive the same night.
Well, then stop fooling around. I don't like it.
Who's fooling around?
Well, don't give... I can't talk anymore. Sedgley's coming back in the room.
Who's coming back in the room?
Sedgley. I've got to hang up now.
Colonel, what are you saying?
I'm saying I've got to hang up. Wait for us. I'll be over in a few minutes.
Bad news?
Very bad.
That's too bad.
It certainly is, Mr. Sedgley.
Stevens.
Mr. Stevens?
Agent Stevens.
Agent Stevens. Cop, huh?
FBI.
Dirty pool.
Sorry.
You're sorry. This is what I get for being a trusting soul.
This is nothing to what you're going to get. Shall we go?
It's like I told Colonel Lawrence. You can't work an honest swindle anymore without some wiseacre pulling a fast one. Everybody wants to get into the act, including the FBI.
Following the strange pattern of underworld behavior, Hodgins attempted to assume the major share of guilt for the numerous frauds in which the prosecution contended Sonny Edwards and Colonel Lawrence were equal partners. A jury failed to agree with him, finding the trio equally guilty on all counts. Both men were sentenced to 6-year terms in prison, and Sonny Edwards to 2 years, thus putting the brakes on the fast pace. In tonight's story, Bill Smith played the part of Stuart Sedgley, and Bill Johnstone was Colonel Lawrence. This radio dramatization for the FBI in Peace and War was written by Jack Anson Fink. These programs are produced and directed by Betty Mandeville. All names and characters used on the program are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. This program is based upon Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War. And the broadcast does not imply endorsement, authorization, or approval by the Federal Bureau of Investigation. We pause now for station identification.